We're on to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Temptation is a word that literally means trials or testing of all sorts. So what are we praying here? We're praying about trials, testing that might lead us away from Jesus. A bit like exams. So here's a picture of an exam. And when we did kind of the Bible study groups on this, we wondered, well, what sort of exam memories do we have? What memories of difficult exams, or fear beforehand, or dramatic dreams? People talk about kind of turning up to the exam maybe naked, or having the wrong exam so you don't recognize any of the questions at all. I had this dream a couple of times where I knew the answers, the exam there, but I had flippers, so I couldn't pick up my pen. And it just went on and on and on. It was very weird. Exams, they can bring and make us feel all sorts of different things. Facing temptations, tests, and trials that try to make us go astray and to not follow Jesus. So praying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We don't want these. We want to go Jesus' way. We do not want to be distracted or drawn off from living for him. But there's no promise that we will avoid temptations entirely. This is not a get out of all future exams free card. So there's a couple of passages. Melody, thank you. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. He's writing to Christians like us, and he says, whenever you face trials, temptations, he's saying you're going to face them repeatedly, expect them. Our faith, our desire to follow Jesus, will be examined, tested. He says, rejoice in them, consider them pure joy. Why? Well, because God can use our weaknesses, these particular things or activities or situations which most test us, and they'll be different for each one of us, but those times to produce, to grow spiritual fruit in us. Examinations of our faith will come. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. No temptation or test has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. They're a common experience to everyone. And it's important because I think there's a real danger when thinking that we're the only one to know what it is to live with this particular temptation, this particular test or trial, to deny this or to choose this. We're the only one who knows exactly what it's like. We all struggle. We're all tested. The Lord's Prayer, even itself, says, lead us not into temptation. So if we come to the first bit of your sheets, if you've not done it already, that little thing, Melody, click on. So what were the other questions? James says that when you're tested, you can have... Joy! Excellent. Paul says that tests are common. Very good. And going through tests can help us grow. Good boy. And you had to... Did you cancel out all the letters and make those letters appear? Brilliant. Good. Yes, so there's joy, yeah, common, and they help us to grow. So we come to the idea that we can all help each other in this area. If we share what is our dangerous situation or our weakness, we can pray for each other, not necessarily with everyone, but with the two or three who know us best. Maybe we consider that next time we have a sort of small group and we pray. I'm struck we never pray for sort of against kind of temptations or particular challenges like in that way, maybe. We can pray for each other and share those times. I used to have a youth group and there were two or three teenage boys who wanted to go to the parties but knew that there'd be drink and there'd be girls. There'd be particular situations. So they meet to pray beforehand. And then they didn't hang out all the time, but they would just kind of nod to each other and check in with each other during the night. They knew this was a situation where there would be testing of their faith. They wanted to live Jesus' way, and they were ready to support each other in that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're praying to be strengthened in the test, through the test, as well as to avoid it. To spot that wise way through, have the self-control, maybe the desire even, to do the right godly thing. So we pray, Lord, help me avoid the hard examination of my life and faith. And when they come, please deliver me through them. So what can we do? Can we prepare for these exams? Well, it's time to revise. Love a bit of exam revision. Some of you probably feeling near fatal flashbacks to these situations. But when we face exams, we might do some past papers. Do you remember past papers, doing the practice questions, or use model answers? They help us to learn how to answer the questions. And we can now turn to a model answer to see how Jesus went through trials and triumphed in his exam. So we have a reading, which were helped by Melody and Katie and Bridget. Sorry, the other way. Sorry.
Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Jesus ate nothing for 40 days and nights. After this, he was very hungry. The devil came to Jesus to tempt him.
If you are the Son of God, tell these rocks to become bread.
It is written in the scriptures, a person does not live only by eating bread, but a person lives by everything the Lord says.
Then the devil led Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem. He put Jesus on a very high place of the temple.
If you are the Son of God, jump off. It's written in the scriptures, he has put his angels in charge of you. They will catch you with their hands. You will not hit your foot on a rock.
It also says in the scriptures, do not test the Lord your God.
Then the devil led Jesus to the top of a very high mountain. He showed Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world and all the great things that are in those kingdoms.
If you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all of these things.
Go away from me, Satan. It is written in the scriptures, you must worship the Lord your God, serve only him.
So the devil left Jesus, and then some angels came to Jesus and helped him.
Brilliant, thank you. So as we went through that reading, click on one please, Melody. I don't know if you noticed some of the similar language, leading of Jesus, temptation or testing, and Satan, the evil one, very similar to our line in the Lord's Prayer. What temptations does Jesus face? Well, very briefly, the one about bread is devil saying, use your rights of your sonship, claim that that position that you have as the Son of God, and turn this rock into bread. And Jesus says, no, I'm giving up the rights of my sonship because of my mission here on earth to bring people to God. The second temptation, about throwing himself down, that's to prove again his sonship. Show people who you are, Jesus, the Son of God, by manipulating God in this test that you've set him. And Jesus says, no, I'm not here to do that. And the third one, bow down and receive kingship. The devil's offering Jesus a shortcut. You're going to be king, aren't you? This is the overall plan. Jesus is going to be king of the world. Well, here's a shortcut. Just bow down to me and here you can be king of the world. And that will leave Satan's authority intact. And again, Jesus denies it. But how does Jesus overcome each of these temptations? Well, he quotes God's word. Verse 4, it is written. Verse 7, it is written. Verse 10, it is written. At each point, he spots the test. Some might have appeared fairly innocuous. You're hungry? Get some bread. He spots the test, that temptation, and he's ready with what he knows of God's. So this is your next couple of questions, wasn't it? Click on, please, Melody. So you had this, Jesus, the tests. What does Jesus do? Did you not get it? Did you hear what I just said? Spots. You see, it spots the test. And Jesus, what God says, knows. Jesus knows what God says, yes. Do you want to click on one more, please, Melody? So how well do we know God's words? How well do we know God? Do we spend time dwelling on his character and his love for us and his purposes? And then do we know his words to us? Words to bring assurance and help in times of confusion and testing. Not just because the vicar says that's what good Christians do, or it is what Christians do generally, but actually it's vital to our ongoing Christian life and our joyful experience of God to really know who God our Father is and what he has for us. Well, one way to revise is the model papers. The other way, Melody, the next way to revise is to learn from mistakes, our mistakes, or even better, if we can learn from the mistakes of others so that we don't have to make them ourselves. So we can now turn to a Bible story and see why Peter failed his trials. He prepared badly. Now, at the end of Matthew 26, Peter denies Jesus three times, and we're going to come to that. We know that story fairly well. But our second reading today gives us the background to this story, some confident words from Peter, and then some bad preparation. So I think we've got Jan reading this for us, Melody. Jan's recording.
The second reading today is Matthew 26, verses 31 to 46, and can be found on page 996 in your pew Bibles. Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch for me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So there's some confident words from Peter. "I will never deny you, even if everyone else fails." But then there was some bad preparation. And we know what happens next. Let's remind ourselves. So we've got Peter. And then we've got three interlocutors who I will point at when it's your turn. Are you ready, June, as well? So later on in that same chapter, at that time, Peter was sitting in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him. Girl one.
"You were with Jesus, that man from Galilee."
"I was never with Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about."
He said this to all the people there. Then he left the courtyard. At the gate, another girl saw him. Girl two.
"This man was with Jesus of Nazareth."
I was never with Jesus. I swear that I don't know this man, Jesus.
A short time later, some people standing there went to Peter. People?
We know you are one of those men who follow Jesus. We know this because of the way you talk.
May a curse fall on me if I'm not telling the truth. I don't know the man.
After Peter said this, a rooster crowed. He remembered what Jesus had told him. Before the rooster crows, you will say three times that you don't know me. Then Peter went outside and cried painfully. Brilliant. Thank you, Devonshire Peter. Jesus was...
I've lost my place now.
Get off. Get off, stay. Don't build your part. I'm back on now. Jesus was tested three times. Peter is tested three times, but he fails each time. What would have helped Peter? Well, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he finds them sleeping. He says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So what would have helped Peter? Peter was told to watch and... Excellent. Peter was told to watch and pray. This command to Peter comes soon after Peter's early confidence. It's probably his confident trust in himself that leads to him sleeping instead of obeying. And inevitably, we see Peter's complete failure of his examination. So let's wrap this up and put this all together. We need to, next one, watch, pray, and know. Watch, spot the exam when it comes for you. Be ready. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Ask him for help. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And know, using the Bible, do you still memorize verses? Memorizing and remembering who God is. Only there in the Bible do we learn truths about God. Watch, pray, and know. For example, you could watch and spot that something wrong is tempting us because it seems to offer pleasure. We pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we know that God's not a spoil sport. Instead, he's made us for joy, and complete joy is found in him and his ways, and not in this second-rate pleasure we may be tempted by. So these are things we usually do. We need to remember, watch, pray, and know. In what specific ways are you being tempted or tested at the moment or coming up soon? Do you have doubts about forgiveness? Or find it hard to forgive someone else? Maybe it's the influence of the unbelieving culture around you. Maybe it's dwelling on bad or anxious thoughts rather than God's truths. Maybe it's thinking there's better pleasure outside the Christian, outside the Christian life than in eternal life. What Bible passages, what gospel truths could you use to help you remain faithful? And so we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray for deliverance and we look to Jesus. And finally, a reality check. You will fail trials and you will fall at temptations. I do. We all do. We need to remember that our failures cannot exclude us from God's family as long as we're putting our trust in Jesus and not ourselves. Jesus passes your entrance exam for you. So, final one, Melody. It is vital we spot what Jesus is doing in his trials. What happens to Jesus differs from what we're told to pray for ourselves. He's led by the Holy Spirit to where he would be tempted, whereas we pray for deliverance from that. Something special is going on. His testing, if you know your Bibles, echoes Genesis 3, Adam and Eve failing in the garden, the Israelites in the wilderness, 40 days, 40 years. And all his Bible quotes are from Deuteronomy, that same time of testing of God's people, and when the people are testing the Lord. But where Adam and Eve fail, where Israel fails, where all humanity fails, Jesus passes. Jesus does that story of humanity and the story of Israel, and he passes Satan's test. And he does so on behalf of all his people. Through the faithfulness of Jesus, every Christian has passed the entrance exam required to enter God's kingdom. So whatever your memories of your exams were, whatever kind of nervous and sweats it still brings, the big one, the one everything else hinges on, the one you just know you're not going to get enough marks, Imagine that. And then Jesus comes in and sits it for you, and his perfect score is credited to you. That's what happens, isn't it? That's what happens on the cross and through Jesus' perfect life. So when we do fail and fall, how should we feel and respond? Well, we hate to fail. Sin should disgust us. We should pour scorn on these petty pleasures rather than the surpassing joy of Father God's. We should pray for help to resist this rubbish. But failure is never final for a Christian. Jesus has passed the test. The faithfulness of Jesus should comfort you in these situations. And so we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.